Welcome again to the Macro and Volatility Podcast, where we discuss the world of investing through the lens of cross-asset investment frameworks and, of course, the derivative markets. My name is Michael Purvis of Tolbach & Capital Advisors, a macro research firm for institutional investors. I'm here with my good friend and fellow markets prognosticator, Josh Silva.
Hello, I'm Josh Silva, Passaic Partners, an asset management firm that focuses on the use of derivatives and options to create better alternative solutions. Today is October 3rd, 2024.
So Josh, here we are at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and it's a kind of crazy start to this quarter. We have the elections now in the foreground, less than 5 weeks away, and on top of that, we have this massive stimulus package from China, which comes out of the blue. So how do you see this impacting the volatility markets?
Thanks, Michael. For what we are seeing is it's generally a higher VIX. This seems like the VIX will be in this 15 to 25 range at a minimum until the election. That has created a high spread between realized and implied volatility. People are continuing to not only be nervous about the election, but also what is happening in the Middle East. Rates are also showing a lot of uncertainty. While absolute rate levels haven't moved a lot, the spreads between expirations and the SOFR curve are moving quite a bit. There is a lot more uncertainty in the world, and we're seeing that priced in equity implied volatility. China stimulus has created another right tail event. It seems like the market was not prepared for this, and a short covering rally has turned into a new long rally. We see this in the option market for the FXI, the Chinese equity ETF. Skew is more flat to inverted. In other words, upside calls are trading at the same or a higher volatility than downside puts. That is not normal in the equity option market. This shows people are aggressively buying calls to take a directional long bet in Chinese equities through the use of upside call options. My feeling is maybe we keep going higher, but that right tail is very expensive right now. Michael, we've discussed these sort of things in the past. In other words, we discussed on some of our earlier podcasts, we can have a strong equity market and a more robust VIX environment. In other words, we can have a higher sustained VIX even in a rally. This is what we had in the late 1990s, a higher equity volatility range with a very risk-on condition, with markets making new highs almost on a daily basis. So Michael, what's your take on how Chinese stimulus impacts the global investing landscape?
Josh, you touched on some great points there. And the Chinese stimulus has been huge, and it has a huge impact on the Chinese equities markets and also Chinese equity volatility, as you pointed out, with the record skew inversion you were discussing. There, you know, there was calls on ETFs like the KWEB were up at 170 on some of the near-dated calls. That level of implied volatility is just not sustainable, and it begs questions about whether those are good volatilities just to be short there. But there's also broader, longer-term questions that the stimulus raises, and I think there's a pretty reasoned case that Xi will keep doing stimulus if for no other reason that it mitigates political pressure on him and doesn't really cost him anything by having a better Chinese stock market and economy. But this stimulus also raises a key question for investors, which is that if you want to rotate away from big tech into, say, value and cyclicals and small caps, do you rotate not into the U.S. but into other markets like China or even other parts of Asia or Europe, which are more direct beneficiaries of the Chinese stimulus than the U.S. economy is? So I think a lot of investors are going to start considering these questions, and some of them will start using a more of a barbell approach where they hold on to their big tech for all the usual reasons, but rotate into international equities where they may see some real outperformance there. And Josh, there's another dimension to this China stimulus, which is that if we get follow through here and it really does look like a big pivot point for the economy, that will reinforce global growth in 2025. And with that, we will help see continued economic expansion in the U.S. here. It doesn't mean the U.S. will outperform, but it may increase the soft landing in 2025 probabilities here. It also generally really reinforces the risk appetite here. We have the Fed easing into a strong U.S. economy. Now we have this Chinese stimulus here. So I think risk will be on, but as you point out, it doesn't mean the VIX has to be at 12. So Josh, the election is now in the foreground. How are you seeing this expressed in the volatility markets?
As I said earlier, markets are pricing in a lot more uncertainty than it has this entire year. Well, the election is a big mover of volatility. The election doesn't happen until till November 5th. When you look at the money volatility on the October 25th date in the SPX, is around 14.5, while the November 6th, which is after the election, is around 16.5. Two vols for the election is a decent spread. But the October volatility continues to be just generally high with so much global uncertainty. What I mean is 10-day realized is closer to 7, and 100-day realized is closer to 13.5. So owning option has been a bit tough. SKU has also seen a bid as people start to hedge their downside. So typically SKU doesn't get bid when vol gets bid. And so having them both happen at the same time is telling you that there's a certain amount of SKU put buying going on during this month because people are hedging their downside. My feeling is we will not know the results of the election also by November 6th. And the uncertainty of the results will keep volatility bid a bit longer than that post-November 5th date. If you look at volatility after November 6th on the at-the-money basis, it is pretty flat. In other words, option markets, they're not pricing a hump for the election. In other words, a big, low vol, which you typically see on an event day. And in fact, they're pricing in a more sustained volatility going through the rest of November and into December. Michael, what are your thoughts on the election?
Well, Josh, you referenced the volatility term structure with this premium for the election. I would just highlight or add to that that commentary that the premium has been in the VIX curve with a big premium for October, really since early in the year when the contract was first listed. This is actually pretty normal during the election years. But, what I've been arguing about that, the risk for the markets is really not so much about what the outcome is of the election, meaning a blue wave or red wave or Harris wins or Trump wins with a split Congress, but rather if we get a very narrow Harris victory and Trump aggressively litigates it, that's going to be very problematic and be a more sort of a lot more anxiety producing for the markets than Bush versus Gore was back in 2020. So I think that's something to be mindful of. And I think, what does that mean for markets or how do you hedge that? I think you could certainly look at S&P puts or VIX calls, but I think also gold is going to go a lot higher than it already has been. So I think we should talk about gold in our next podcast.
That sounds like a great idea. That's it for today. Again, this is Josh Silva, Passaic Partners. You can find me on Bloomberg, the website www.passaicpartners.com or the Passaic Partners LinkedIn page.
And this is Michael Purvis at Talbach & Capital Advisors. You can find me on LinkedIn as well as on Bloomberg. Thanks very much for listening. Until next time.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not investment advice. The information, opinions, and views expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended as investment advice. The opinions expressed may not align with Passaic Partners' views or its client strategies. Market forecasts are speculative and should not be the sole basis for investment decisions. Consult your financial and tax advisors before making any investments.